It's here, it's happening, it's now. It's time for another episode of Minor Revelations with Drew Drogi. Hello, I even botched my own name. Sometimes I have a hard time saying my name. Hi, I'm Drew Drogi. I want to start off this week, or whatever time it is for you, with thanking our major donors to the Indiegogo campaign. Now, our major donors gave $150 or more. That's it. I mean, that you were considered, you were going to get a building named after you. I'm going to say one quick thing about each one of you, because you're a wonderful group. All right, Barbara Pritchett, I love you. You come to all of my shows in New York, and you're always so amazingly sweet to chat afterwards, and you bring a large group of people, and you're a delight. Andy Halleck, I got to work with you online during pandemic, and you're an incredible writer, and hello. Heather Chappell, my God, we went to college together. We have such an amazing, rich, checkered history together. I'm so glad you're back in my life. Brian Safi, one of my favorite people of all times, one of my, just a dear friend, brilliant force of joy and filth. I love you. David Tarlow, we go back to Celebration Theater. Your face makes me smile every time I see you. Great to hear you. Thank you. Byron Lane, you saved my soul in your swimming pool one time in Palm Springs. A brilliant writer, a hilarious person, dear, dear friend. Oh, Garrett Drogi, who's that? Oh, that's just my amazing brother who I love so much. Hopefully we'll get you on the show one day, Garrett, and just get into it. Jonathan Carroll, oh my gosh, we talk online several times. You always seem so delightful. Thank you very much. Paul Marchigiani, oh, a neighbor, a longtime friend. Oh, I love wine and neighborhood bitchery with you. Oh, Ryan Gall, genius, dear Groundlings friend. Oh my God, everyone check out Ryan Gall. And on all levels, he's just the best. Shane Harris, another college friend, genius, fighting the good fight in Washington, just an incredible journalist, a dear friend, and so fun to have a cold gin martini with in the nation's capital. Jason McAuliffe, you gave me the greatest TV drama of my life on Heather's, and you were one of my favorite people to just corner up at a party with and just talk about terrible people. Pablo Rucubo II, I don't know you, but you have an incredibly sexy name. Congratulations and thank you. Timothy Edwards, I don't know you either. I was going to reveal your email address, but I'm not going to do that. Horrible of me. But you have an incredible email address. I know I would like you just because of your email. Stephen Beresford, I also don't know you, but I saw online that you follow Homophilia Podcast, which thank you, Dave Holmes and Matt McConkey, for that incredible shout out. And let's give love to Homophilia always. Leonora Gershman, how you say it? Lily Pitts, hello. Oh my God, we did an amazing show together. You're my dance sister always and forever. Larry Tadlock, oh my God. We met up in Scotland and you sent me a trampoline. Fill in the gaps, everybody else. Thank you, Larry. And Vanessa Whitney, another LA comedy friend. We have worked together in the improv scene, and you're an amazing puppeteer person. And thank you so much to everyone. Oh, how wonderful of you all to donate. And hopefully we might hear some stories from you, some minor revelations yourself. Here's the thing. I feel just crazed lately. Do you know when you have to take an antibiotic and they put you on steroids and you get in traffic and you just feel like you want to jump out and bite the tires of the cars in front of you? Like you feel violent and just like, oh, somebody start something. Just do it. I have felt that so much lately. I have been like on the clock, and I've had a week of like 3 days of like this drain in my shower repairs. I've repaired people coming in and out, and I've been like having to get to class, and I'm teaching, and having to get to appointments and do things, and I'm just a wreck in the car. And then I get into class and I'm like, go, do it, make art. And then I did a show last week and I was, oh my God, I bombed so badly. It was a horrible, and a bad improv show just sits in you, just like, oh my God, it will not go away. And it's just, it stews and tortures, haunts you. I felt that way. I just felt that the stink of flop all over me. And I was just like, oh, and I couldn't shake it. And I was home and I was mad. And I'm like, what do I do with this rage? As I was going to bed, I was like, why am I so keyed up? And it's like, well, you're really tired. And I'm realizing that I don't have the capacity for things that I used to have in terms of go. I need to take time to just breathe and relax, which I don't give myself. And I don't know why I go into a spiral Tom DeTrenis talked me down from a wall, you know, months ago in San Francisco. I was just tired and I couldn't stop spiraling and I was getting more and more dark and manic and upset. And he's just like, go to bed, Drew, go to bed. I love you, Tom. That's exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. We got to just relax sometimes and just chill. So that's leading up to last night. I was in a much better place, but just sort of on the like, just like breathe. And I turned on Beef on Netflix. This just came out. By the time you hear this, I hope everyone will be talking about this show. And it's going to be like, yeah, basic bitch, everyone's talking about Beef. I would be a terrible producer. I can never pick out what people are going to watch and love. But this is Ali Wong and Steven Yeun, who are both giving incredible performances. I just started watching it. But from the jump, it is the moment. It is the current zeitgeist. When everyone drives like they're in Grand Theft Auto because we've been home on playing video games and everyone's nuts on the road and so mad and so triggered and everyone's right. And how dare you talk to me that way? I'm important. Don't you know who I am? And I don't have it easy. This show is absolutely encapsulating all of that. It's brilliantly written. It's hilarious. It's also terrifying. Highly recommend it. And I beg everybody, take a breath, myself included. Go to sleep. Give yourself space. It's okay. We're gonna get through this. I think. Let's meet our guests. Good morning, y'all.
Hey.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm sitting here with the wonderful Naomi Ekperigin and Jeff Hiller. Good morning.
Good morning,
Hi.
Sir. Look at us. You know what?
Look at us.
People have to know it's not just morning, it's a Monday. So
it's
we really
Monday.
Said, let's pop off. Let's start strong.
100%. We're committed to this week. We're like, and it's like we have a job Monday morning. We're all business. I know. But
this
I love
week,
that.
I'm fully committing to the week.
Thank you. I hear you. I
that's
see
so
you.
That's so funny because you said that. And I was like, that's strong to commit to the whole week. I was like, I'm committing to the day. I really take it a day. I've learned for me, for instance, like last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday were productive. That's less
Great.
Than half the week. But that's who I am. I cannot give it to you every ball.
But I think it's good to know what your like speed is. Because for me, I have days that I do boom, 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 and do a million things. Or with writing, I'll carve out and I'll write for like 6 hours. And then I will go week, 2 weeks, I don't know, a month.
Easily.
Without writing. And I'm like, and people are like, do you get up every day and you write every day? And I'm like, that's not my thing. Mm-hmm. I could, but I get in it. Like, to me, it's like, I have to dive in and do it. Or I have those days that I have something at 10, 11, 1:30, 3:45, 6 p.m. And I'm like, that's just a day that you're going. And then I need a day where I do nothing.
Yes.
And that's just as important as well. I don't know that every day, but some people need that structure of every day. I need like, go, 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 go. I get a lot more done when I schedule everything in one day and then give myself a full day off than I do like trying to do one thing a day.
Wow. Okay. So I came to
that's
this podcast
me.
To be seen because I've been living in a lot of shame around this.
Oh, no, you can't. You can't feel it.
No.
I really am giving myself days where I can just be like I actually this last week scheduled a Saturday with nothing.
That's so wonderful.
To just
it's so
have a
good.
Day at home.
Yeah. And you kind of have to just tell people I'm busy and just kind of lie.
Okay, can I just okay, like, listen.
Yeah,
so like,
please.
So for instance, I canceled a set. So today's Monday, I canceled the show for Wednesday. And you know why? It's cuz I don't want to do it. So
100%. That's fine.
Because you know, first of all, I still don't like to be inside my claustrophobic spaces. And it's a lineup of 7 comedians plus host. So that's 9 hours you can't get back.
What?
And it's on the west side. And I just don't have it in me this week. I just know.
I support that.
Thank you. Because
you're
I was
also,
like,
I think you are at a place where you were allowed to say no to certain things. You know, it's not like you're some upstart comedian.
Thank you very yes. much. I like to think that. But it's also like why I shouldn't have said yes in the first place. Or rather, let's say this. Uh-huh. Don't. I'm going to tell you this right now. Don't ask me to do anything more than 3 weeks out because I can't guarantee I will be able to be the person who said yes. Initially.
I think that's so fair. And I will say, like, it's all of it. It's like, I love doing things. Like, I love being busy. I love saying yes. I love being like, I got something on my plate, But I also have to give myself permission to pull out if it's not for whatever reason. And like, I didn't used to be this, but I think post pandemic, I've just been a little bit more like quality over quantity.
Yes.
And if I'm not going to give you the thing, I'm going to give you plenty of time in advance. If I'm not feeling well, also, you know, this just happened to me. If you, and I'm just going to say this, and if the person who heard this hears it, I don't care really, but it's like, if you send very controlling, borderline abusive emails ahead of time about a dress code, about you're not allowed to invite people to this live thing, about just if there's too many things, and I wake up and I don't feel well, and I go, hey, I don't feel well, and your response is, I'm replacing you. This literally just happened to me. It's like, oh, you've given me every reason not to feel bad about not doing your thing.
In a way, it's a gift.
It's a gift. Thank you. I don't have to drive to Santa Monica and do this thing. I mean, it's a lot of it is that where you're kind of in. And you're right. Sometimes people book you so far out and you're like, well, I have nothing in August. So you're like, of course I'll do August 9th. Sure, I'm available. And then you're like, everything comes up. But then, you know, August 7th comes along and you're like, oh, my God, my August 9th is so booked now. And it's, you know, and again, people have to understand that when you are doing the, you know, things happen. And sometimes we, as creative people, we don't give ourselves the time to just go, this isn't right now and I need the time off. And that sounds like I'm flaking, I'm bailing, I'm not doing this thing. No, it's one thing if you're booked and you're headlining and your thing and you're just like in the car on your way to the show and you're like, I'm not feeling myself today. Now that's a monster and we would never do that. And I know both of you.
Yeah,
would never do that. But
you're saying Wednesday on Monday morning that you can't. That's plenty of time.
And exactly. It's also a 7-person lineup. You see what I'm saying? Because I looked at this because I said, you know, when it's smaller, when it's like, oh, okay, we have a thing. But it's like, you got 7, you could lose it. Because it's like 8 minutes. That's the other thing too lately with me. Like, it's like, I ain't leaving the house for less than 10 minutes. And I know right now I sound like Elizabeth Taylor or some shit. But I just cannot, like... It's too
because
much.
You have because you spent years doing it and you did it for a long, long time.
Yes.
And now you get a point where you're like, I have to take care of me because otherwise, I mean, it's the thing when I had to be, I mean, you'll know me. I had to be told this so many times that I still have to do this. It's like you have to teach people how to treat you and you have to kind of get, and that doesn't mean like I am the fucking shit and I am amazing and you treat me like a god. It's just literally like, oh, you can say that. And at times it'd be like, I'm just not really. Because otherwise they will keep, you know, they will throw you on. And I like doing things when it works, when the timing is right or when the thing is time. I love going and doing things. I love performing live. It's one of my favorite aspects of what I get to do. I never thought I could do this with my life and I love doing it. But when it's not happening, it's like, it's okay to say no because we said yes for so long. And I think it's like, you have to say yes to the big yes. And sometimes those are small no's, I think. You have to kind of go...
Okay, yes, write this book. Write this book.
You know what I mean? It's like...
Over Brene
literally...
Brown.
Sometimes you're like, the big... Because everyone's like, say yes, say yes, yes. And I'm like, I did that for a really long time. And now, sometimes, you know, the journey, I see, you know, where the journey's going. And that's like some weird diversions along the way. So sometimes you don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you go, that's not getting me to the journey. That's not doing the thing. And, you know.
Yeah. Also, to drive an hour to do 8 minutes and then drive home an hour.
Yep. And then wait backstage, hang out and wait with comics, which used to be such a fun thing to do, to hang out with people. I don't really enjoy that so much. If it's the two of you, it's wonderful. But sometimes it's not always this thing about, you know, can you're back there going, okay. And it's just, and then you go out there and you do your thing and then you leave and. You know,
yeah. So the fact is, we're all doing well, but we don't have time for any of you hoes. Okay, we are on the record, recorded.
That is right. We have
no
time.
Stop asking me things, except for also always ask me things.
Always ask me things. I desperately need a job, so if there's money involved, absolutely
that,
changes
that is
everything.
So true. It really does.
I will drive 6 hours for $6. I will wear a giant feathered animal costume. I will jump around. Whatever you need me to do.
I will, and I have.
We are all talking about free entertainment versus paid entertainment. Jeff, how's New York City?
It's good. It's 60 degrees here today.
How nice.
Spring has sprung. Everyone's outside wearing open-toed shoes.
Oh.
Disgusting.
Rich. The odors are strong. It's just fragrant. It's about 60 here. It's finally spring in Los Angeles, too. It's like, it's just the world has decided to open up on this March Monday morning. Mm-hmm. How nice.
I was just in LA and it was all rainy and, well, yeah,
it was horrible. But we were there for a wonderful reason.
That's so true.
Naomi and Andy just got married. Oh my God, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful.
You guys came to a wedding.
We came to a wedding. We came to your wedding.
It was gorgeous.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Oh, I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you for having us there.
So glad y'all could both be there. It made me so happy. It was, yeah, but that weather was real, right? And part of March, we got married March 11th, which was our 13-year anniversary, right? So the date was specific, and it was a Saturday. Like, we were like, we want to do this. And at the time, of course, we thought, well, March in LA shouldn't be bad. When I tell you, hail came down when we did the final venue walkthrough. I was like, okay, the game has changed. Like, we were so... I don't know if y'all left before, like it started to sprinkle again at the end, but literally it was raining until 2 p.m. for a 4 p.m. start. When I tell you, my anxiety was through the fucking roof.
Well, it's
very chill walking down.
You were
aisle.
Very chill. You seemed very calm. You and Andy were both very self-possessed, really just like
You both nailed your vows.
100%.
Oh, thank you so much. I did write them Friday night at 11 p.m. So I'm just really glad that they came together. Just like a tight two, okay?
It's
two
great.
Minutes. No one needs, like I was like, we're not pulling a Bronte novel. Keep it short and sweet, but give a little something. You know, the audience does have an expectation.
Yeah.
But it was
perfect. The weather just stayed, just parted just enough. And we were outdoors. It was lovely. Like, it didn't feel, it wasn't too cold. It wasn't too rainy. And it was like, but it was in the middle of that hell of rain. And rain in LA is its own hellscape. It's not like anywhere else where you can just deal with the rain. But it
was, there's no infrastructure. That's why.
None. No streets
that can handle
it. Because
literally the streets just flood. I discovered 3 leaks out of my windows, like panes. It's like,
Every window I have has this little pockets of air. I basically sleep outside. Let's just say my place is very much a California apartment. That's why we like had to get a new mic for this, because the sound, it's like I'm right on traffic and like light and it's lovely, but it's like meant for mild to like kind of, I mean, even hot, it's fine. It stays cool in here, but it's freezing cold when it's like that. Yeah. But anyway, the day was just so special. And I just love weddings now that like I didn't used to. I mean, I wrote a play about it that Jeff did as well, about like kind of like the demands of weddings. And I just remember going up to so many weddings that were just like at the church. They were just very dry. It was the same ceremony over and over again. It was always the thing about like, it was always 6 in the South, 16 bridesmaids in like horrible pastel, awful like buttercream or like awful lilac. Some just like,
butter,
you know, like,
cream.
You know, just like some awful like or mint or just some like
Easter
thing.
Colors. They're giving
Easter
you Easter
colors.
Yeah.
Even if it's in dead of October, it's just like we're coming through. He has risen no matter what. And then, you know, just the parade and then like carrying it down and then like the, you know, the whole thing. And then. I just love now it's like we make our own rules. Mm-hmm. This is our day. Thank you for coming to our party. We're celebrating this great thing that we've already decided together. And I like going to show people's weddings because like y'all are used to putting on a show. It's not the anxiety of like, this is the one time I'm doing this thing. Instead, it's like, it's a party.
Yes.
Your numbered tables were prestige television programs.
Oh, they were wonderful. What was this? We were at Pose? What table were we at, Jeff?
I wasn't at your table. I was at American Dad.
I was like, prestige? I was like,
I thought
prestige?
We were at the same table. How do I not remember? Oh my God. Well, I think
we were at Slow Horses. You were at Slow Horses.
We were in line and we were like hanging out. I was at Slow Horses. You're right.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone has to watch Slow Horses.
I guess I should ask the bride. You remember.
No, well, it's funny because I didn't do the tables, which is why American Dad was even in the mix. Because I said, Andy, don't be telling people we watch American Dad. That's like a little couple. We've like, and everything else is off. And we're like, let's see the new American Dad. But he goes, we've watched every episode. It counts as a couple show.
I think so. Like, wow. I mean, I don't think I've ever watched it, but
that's okay.
I was just saying earlier, I was just telling Jonathan, the producer, like I was just not a cartoon person.
I get that.
There are a lot of ones that I love now that are on, that, and I've always loved The Simpsons, but I just was, you know, I just growing up was never Not like I grew up with American Dad. What are we talking about? Saying,
like, but because this thing, I like cartoons as a child and was not having them as an adult. And then really, you know, and it's funny because you bring up The Simpsons, because I've been working on a theory that I call a mathematical theorem that I call the graining principle, which is if you bring two white men of a certain age together, they will bring up The Simpsons within 30 to 40 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
Because I do believe it is such a cultural touchstone for like an age group.
For sure.
But
it's
kind
of a big age group at this point.
At this point, but I think the people who were like, in deep and referencing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if the young people reference it now the way we, like, our age references it.
Well, and I haven't watched it in years, but I will say, it started on the Tracy Ullman show, yes. Which I did watch.
Same.
And then when it came, I think it premiered in 1990 or 91.
89, like Henny. I think 89. It might be 89.
89. Okay, I would have been 12 years old. So I would have been a perfect age.
Yeah.
For that. And it also used to come in after In Living Color, which I watched every episode of. That was
exactly.
It was like Married with Children, In Living Color, The Simpsons. I don't remember what order those were on, but they all were on Sunday nights on Fox.
Mm-hmm. You're correct.
And I watched them all the time. I also watched Julie Brown's show, The Edge, the year that was on. That was like my Sunday night. I never missed that lineup because those are shows that I can say all. Like, we're definitely formative for me. But
I'll tell you, I watched that American Dad show. I like that little gay alien who wears the wigs.
I mean, why not?
I think he's real cute.
I've seen, like, clips of that, like, clips of him. Yeah. Tell me about the little gay alien. What does he do?
Is he openly gay? Roger is like a pansexual alien, and he is inspired by Paul Lind, both vocally and in character.
God loves Paul Lind.
It's funny. Like, it is, and it's just like, the alien lives in the house, and the dad works for the CIA, so it's like they found the alien at Area 51, and they sort of harbor him, you know, and the disguises
when he goes out into the world, he puts on these disguises, and he has like a big alien head, so he often wears like a bouffant hairdo or like a or like a Rasta cap or something, and I do think, even though it's a cartoon, I find the wig work very good.
Now, who draws the wigs on American Dad? Whoever you are, you have a fan in New York City.
This is exactly the kind of thing that I wouldn't. This is honestly the premise of the podcast, because something you've never talked about before would
American
be
Dad.
The depths of American Dad. I didn't plan this. But here we are. I love it.
I love it. Now, doesn't he always have a martini? Doesn't he always have a drink too? Or no? Am I making that up?
Often does.
Awesome.
But he's, you know, really an agent of chaos, you know, kind of an
id-driven
character who, because of all these personas, is causing all manner of trouble.
I love that. I just love gays that cause trouble. But they're just not enough of us, because we're not. We're wonderful, beautiful unicorn creatures, and I'm so proud to be gay, and I obviously love all of that, but I'm also like, I just love how we're a lot. We're chaotic. We're not always the most helpful. I love it when we try and fail. I love it when we just openly don't try and just do our own thing.
Yes.
I mean, I just, you know, we're a necessary spice, and but it's not, we're not always like the heroes, and I always think like, yeah, let us be a foil in a good way.
In a good way. But like also not like, but then do you ever take issue with the whole like, girl, I'm gonna be messy and I'm a fuck. Do you know what I mean? Like the TV loves that trope. And
well,
I like a sexless gay character.
Oh, yes. Nice to meet you. Hi, I'm Drew Droege and I'm here to work. What I really don't, what I take issue with is when it's just so lazy. When you're like, is there a person you've ever met that is all of these things? You know what I mean?
Right.
Who's so sassy, so witty, and so sexual, gets everyone in bed, and also has the thing. And you haven't thought beyond, oh, they drink a Cosmo, they carry a purse, they wear heels, and they call everybody girl and she and yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, pick somebody you know. And I also think, but I do love the, like, I miss the, like, over-the-top gay characters, because I think we got so scared of that they were like, we can't make them bad, so they make them boring. And I think boring is worse and more damaging, because you're just sort of like, well, I don't really want to hang with those gay people either. Like, I kind of want it to be entertaining. But it's also, it's why I think gay people need to be writing gay parts because we just kind of know better than I think what kind of passes through. And, you know, as the, I mean, I don't know. How do y'all feel?
I will also say that I, for most of my career, I just played waiters and they were always bitchy. Like, they were actually never nice. They were always just like,
right,
sorry, you don't have a reservation.
And,
and you know, they were always just there to make the main character be like, this bang.
Yes.
And I do like playing someone who's nice every once in a while, just as like a different shade of color. Right. Like, I will gladly go back to playing a bitch, but it was like, really? Can I just once be like, yeah, your reservation's right here.
Right.
One time I was in a movie with Rachel McAdams. My scenes got cut. Didn't matter. Anyway, she was like leaving the station where I was working, and she, her, just out of spontaneous, it wasn't scripted, she like hugged me like really hard. And I started crying because it was the only time an actor had ever been nice to me on set.
Oh my God. That's
oh
so sweet.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's so sweet. You mean Isabelle Huppert didn't hug you in that, what's the Isabelle Huppert movie you're in that I got so excited when I saw you in?
Greta.
Oh my God, I loved that movie. I loved it, and I loved that you pop up in that, and I'm like, Jeff Hiller and Isabelle Huppert, I am fine.
I did have to restrain her, so there was kind of a hug.
Yes.
Skin to
but
skin
she was
contact.
Screaming There's at me.
Absolutely.
At the
well, but I mean, on your show, Somebody Somewhere, which you're so wonderful, wonderful on, you get to play like such a nuanced, sweet person who, like, that is like.
Right, that's true.
Gotta be a dream, because that is like somebody who you're like, oh, I care about him. I want to take care of him. And that's so much that comes from you and what you bring, but also like you have this great character that's written for you, which is like, it's so nice to see. Queer people on that show, many queer people on that show in a small town where you're like, they're just living and existing and they're having these lives and they're rescuing dogs. They're having personal drama. You know, there's a storm, like whatever. There's like things happening that are not like gay, gay, gay. It's all gay issues.
Right.
And my pride flag got stained, girl. I got to get a new one. Got to go to the Dorothy store.
Uh-oh, season 2's coming out. I hope that's my plot point.
Oh no, I just ruined. Spoiler.
Spoiler alert, my pride flag gets stained.
Well, that's at least 3 or 4 episode arc. I mean, that's a lot for you to handle.
Well, because they have to find the person who's staying the flag. Okay, 100%. They sort of do a Columbo type search.
Figure out what this stain is.
I mean, but I think a lot of it is just like, give them humanity. And then... Mm. Allow them to be whatever.
Right. Not perfect, but not just a fuck machine either.
Right. And because there's a thing too that I also think like the thought of, and yes, there are those gay men that are way more, you know, just sexual and, you know, when they're together, but just the thought that like gay men get together and there's just like, it's on all the time. We're just like, and I'm like, I'm usually like watching Death Becomes Her with an, and, you know, and, you know, not like, you know, I mean, I'd love to kind of balance that a little bit more. There's sometimes that I'm like, hey, that would be fun every now and then, but it's also not that we're doing that. And those are not the ones who are like quoting, you know, Rosalind Russell at the same time. Like, that's just where you're like, I don't know that person.
I agree. I think it's also that part of it. It's not simply right. As we talk about these characters, it's that 99.9% of the time, these characters are, in relation to a cis straight person. And so it's always like, this your friend? I don't imagine a world where either of y'all hang out together.
I know.
Because, like, literally, you would both be like, you're annoying. Do you know what I mean? Like, on both sides of it. And it's like, but you put it's like, see? My, like, it's like, I'm straight and I have a friend who's gay. And they are very gay. Do you know? And it's like this weird thing where it's like, what are you, like, what are you serving? Are you serving to make the straight person seem, quote unquote, normal or boring, or you know what I mean, like whatever it is, I'm always like, what is this friendship vibe
outside of
the scene? I don't buy it.
Yeah. I totally agree. Well, and it's like, well, we need more all gay, we need to not have just the one gay show on at a time that everyone's talking about and commenting, because then everyone expects that to be everything.
Right.
It's like, yes, show a community and show a group of of gays that is specific to this group, that's not just representing all gay people, or just to have it on your list. A lot of it too is just like, what don't we have on the show? Now let's just make them friends. They're friends because they just can't be without each other. And you're kind of like, well, okay, cool. They could be friendly. They could know each other and be and
like
not...
when you would ask your improv students, like, what was your relationship? And they'd be like, friends.
oh my God, you guys, both between the two of you, we've got 90 generations of improv students under your belt.
We have taught many an improv student. I now run into people and I'm sort of embarrassed to remind them that I was their improv teacher, unless they bring it up. Just because it's been so long now, and I'm sort of see people and I'm like, you know, and they're like, how do you know it? You know, it's just sort of like,
I was your improv teacher.
I was.
After I had already been an improv teacher, but still.
Yes. Ooh,
wow.
And you were like,
okay, continuing education.
Class. You were like, education. I was like, I mean, I fully knew you. I knew who you were. I was like thrilled that you were in there. I was like, oh, we have a ringer, ladies and gentlemen. Every
friends.
Now and then.
We were friends.
We couldn't be out about it. We had to be, that was our closet, our comedy closet. To let everyone in the class, we didn't want them to think that I was playing favorites.
And I met Jeff through improv. That's how
did y'all meet?
I had seen Jeff at UCB shows and stuff and thought he was so funny. But then we met at a Halloween party where I was dressed as Sojourner Truth. And I came up to you in a bar. And was like, yo! Like, because it was like, you know, I've been seeing him from afar, and now we're in the same party world.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to introduce myself. And I forgot what you thought my costume was, and I was like, you know, something way more appropriate. And I was like, no, I'm Sojourner Truth! And he was like...
Ain't I a woman?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. He was like, is that a shower cap?
I am a black actress. And I was like, wow, you have all the pens. It's so good.
I really came in hot that night. I said, this is my shot. I'm going to shoot my shot with Jeff Hiller.
That is wonderful.
But then we went out to lunch, I remember, because I was on Weight Watchers at the time.
Oh, yeah, you were telling the point.
I confessed it to you.
Yeah.
And you were like, I don't know, this improv thing, I don't know if I'm really good at it. And I was like, who cares? You do not need improv. Do not worry about not being good at improv. Go be good at what.
Well, and
pays
you are
money.
Great. You are great at improv because Naomi and I did a movie together two years ago, whenever that was.
Oh
time.
My gosh.
We were in a movie called Me Time together, and you were an incredible improviser. You also know when,
this
is a huge compliment, you know when not to talk, which is like something is a huge skill. Because
really
you get
is.
In these giant groups of people and everyone's like, let's all improvise. And I think people think they all have to talk. And I always just, I've said for years, and now it's even more of a clear example people understand. It's like, watch Best in Show, watch Jennifer Coolidge. You know, and Jane Lynch is like just barreling through. And Coolidge is just looking around, behaving, eating popcorn, occasionally saying something. She doesn't talk a lot in that movie.
Yeah.
And you're constantly going, oh my God, it's brilliant. Because I think sometimes people just think they have to just, improv means talk, ad lib, just keep going and something will fall out. And I used to sort of teach more in that way, of just go, go, go. And now I'm a little bit like, oh God, let's take a moment. Let's breathe. I think with age too, you want to be like, okay, let's just exist. Exactly.
Pull it back.
We get it.
Pull it back.
You work at a candle factory.
We're in a hat store. You're Mr. Hat.
Naomi is great at improvising. And like when you're on stage, your crowd work and everything is like beautiful. What we were talking about was the UCB industrial complex.
Right.
And that was my point.
No. It was true. Well, because I think it was, you know, I think for a lot of people, right? Like there was that sense of, okay, I don't know the networks and the conduits into this business I want. It seems like when I turn on TV, someone from improv class is in a commercial. So it means I should maybe do improv. But then that's the thing, though. I don't want to hear everybody else's nonsense. And that's why I know I'm not good. Because I'll literally be like, no, I don't like what you just said. Now I would like to check out of this scene. It's like, that's not good. Like, you got to work. You have to yes and. And I'll just be like, it's not even no, but. It's just no. Just stand there and go figure it out. I can't partake in this.
Can I tell you, years ago when I was a student, I got a teacher that yelled at me so hard. I was such a bitch that I was on stage with somebody and they wouldn't shut up and I didn't like what they had to say. And I put a muzzle on them. I guarantee you we weren't like at a kennel. We weren't like anywhere where there would be a muzzle, like on the magical fourth wall. I literally just go, I have a muzzle and I put it on them to try to get them to be quiet. Because I was just tired of the whole thing. And I remember a teacher being like, Drew, of all things, you put a lock on their mouths. You know, I'm just like, well. What else am I going
to
do?
Here's the irony. I bet they didn't say yes to that.
No, you know what? I think they did. Oh. I think they were like, and just keep making noise. But I was like, now I don't know how. I'm going to have to cut out your tongue or something. I don't know. I think too, and being a teacher, I try to encourage people to be like, this is one lane. This is one thing. And some people just end up doing this whole thing and go in and it does really well for them. But you have this line on your resume now. You've taken one class or you've been in the main company for 20 years. It's still one line on your resume. Mm-hmm. You've done it. So if it's not working for you and other things are happening, because I've had people that had a hard time getting through level one at the Groundlings where I teach who have ended up on Saturday Night Live or ended up in huge careers that people who become Groundlings would love to have. So it's like there's no rhyme or reason. And we say totally. That. And students kind of hear and go, yeah, 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 sure, sure, sure. But it is absolutely true. And I also would be like, I would be the worst cult leader in the world to be like, come join and you'll be promised all these things. It's like, no, it's school. It's a technique. It's like, take it like yoga. Like, mm-hmm. Do you like hot yoga? Do you like, you know, flow? Do you not like yoga? You can move another way. Maybe you like Pilates. Maybe you... You know,
want to lay down on the floor.
Want to lay down
just with a group of people.
That's fine. They're hug party, cuddle parties. I don't know.
Oh no, but just you know how at the end of yoga where you all kind of lay down. I've only taken a couple.
Oh, Savasana.
Okay, yeah, that's what it is. Because I tried. There was a place in New York in the East Village that used to be like pay as you want yoga. Maybe on St. Mark's Place. Maybe some place, right?
People.
So it'd be crowded.
Yoga for the people. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Because it was cheap, so it'd be crowded. And I remember one time I tried to go and because like every now and then I caught myself trying to get in shape. So I'll try a thing and then I don't like it or I get sore and never again. And so I went to this yoga class. When I tell you, a girl's sweat landed on my face.
Oh, no.
And I will never forget that feeling of just her wetness on my face. Because it was like she turned her head, you know, to like make a move. And it landed near my lip.
Oh no.
And I said, never again. Never again to communal class work.
That
to
is
group
so
exercise.
Not anybody's vibe, but I know you well enough to know that is really not your vibe. It's like that zombie movie 28 Days Later when like you see the drop of blood go in someone's eye and you're like, you're infected now.
The drop from the bird gets in dad's eye and he has to say goodbye to his daughter before he turns.
Oh my God. Well, hey, we know what we know. You tried it and you know it's not for you. That's the point. That's exactly it. You did a class and you're like, not my thing.
You had to say goodbye to your in-class daughter before you turned your back and walked out of that class. I'm like, okay.
There it is.
Not with my daughter. Not doing it.
Not.
Now, y'all, I want to hear some revelations. I know we have American Dad. I know that we've had them. But do any of you have something you'd like to reveal that's big, small? I don't know. I have no idea what you're going to say to me. So who wants to go first?
Do you have something?
I do have something. It's funny. I've got one, you know, because again, I'm trying to think again, as somebody with a podcast who talks too much, I know. Unpacked?
It's a very hard assignment.
But I will say, I think this is something I haven't really gotten into that I'm prepared to excavate should it come to that. I'm going to just say something, honestly. I don't like water. I don't
Wait,
like it.
Wow.
Drinking it or getting in it?
Drinking it. Like you're supposed to drink water to live. It's like the preferred neutral adult, but I mean mature. Like If I was just walking, have a glass of water. It's like, okay, it's hot. Have a glass of water. I don't enjoy the taste of it. I don't enjoy the taste of it. When it's very cold, it hurts. When it's room temp, it's nasty.
I'm not a room temp water person myself. I do like enjoy a cold water, but it's to me, it's that is wild. Now, do you? Is it the flavor? Has there ever been a flavor? Now let's talk about like LaCroix. Do you like that? Do you like a sparkling?
Let me tell you, I'll have a Spindrift. I like a real fruit flavor. I don't like a chemical scent because it's not a flavor as much as it's a scent with a LaCroix.
Yes.
You know, a Waterloo, an Arrowhead sparkling. Okay, those are scents, not flavors.
Mm-hmm. And like Skittles.
Exactly.
Skittles are scented and not flavored.
Also,
right?
Wouldn't you say the same thing with Starburst too? That they're like different colors, but it's all the same flavor.
Oh, I think they're different flavors, but I don't know how. I don't know what's working.
I could have a dead tongue. Who knows?
But strawberry has a different consistency than the others because strawberry is almost like a butter pat. It's like a much oilier. Right? Don't you see the difference between that and like lemon is always and cherry are very like hard.
I haven't touched a Starburst in a long time, so
I
don't
really
have it. But when you
Starburst.
Said oily like a butter pat, I said I'm out.
Oh,
I don't have the teeth for Starburst.
Oh,
the molar strength.
Oh,
never gonna happen.
Mima needs her puddings and jams.
Exactly. I guess I could suck on it. Hey, didn't it?
Does this bread come in yogurt form? Okay, so I just want to go back to this water thing. Now, how is this something you drink it to survive? You just don't enjoy it. I mean, my grandparents lived in well into their 90s and they hated water. They never drank it.
Really?
My mom always complained. My mom's like, they never drink water. They will never drink water. Now, they didn't drink alcohol either. My grandfather started drinking. After my grandmother died 5 months before my grandfather died. And in those 5 months, my grandfather was like, I like red wine. And he really? Loved his red wine. And we were like, yes, he's having red wine. Because my grandmother was teetotal. But like, they didn't drink water. And they lived very well. It was like, everyone's like,
they
the key to life is
well.
Drink water.
Yeah, but they lived well in general. And that's the thing, I'm not doing that either. You know, and so that's why sometimes like, I'll drink water because I know I'm supposed to. Dehydration will hit me. Like, there are times like, oh, maybe I should try water. Or Andy will say to me, because I'm like, I have a headache or whatever. He goes, have you had water today? And I'd be like, ugh, fine. Like, when you know what, how it's like, oh, 6 to 8 glasses or really 8 to 10 glasases, but I say 6 to 8.
Sure.
Trying to have that much water is like, I feel like I'm being waterboarded. I feel like I'm being like stuffed with a tube. Like, it just is so much to try to have
and
that
you're
much
never
water.
Not in the bathroom or drinking water. You're either drinking water or you're in the toilet. That's your day. If you're having that much water.
Okay,
for me.
Okay, I thought you meant, I was like, am I drinking toilet water? No, I see what you're saying. Right, if you're drinking that much water, then you're always in the toilet.
Now that is a minor confession.
Now that, I drink my water out of the toilet. I'm glad you brought it up. It's delicious. It's wasted often. When I do like get up and, we do live in a desert, so. You wake up and you are dehydrated when you wake up. And I know I probably snore really badly and usually sleep alone and I don't always know, but I wake up and I'm like dry mouth. I also have whiskey and wine almost every night. And so it's like, there's that, but.
You don't mix them.
Sure.
You mix.
In the toilet. Okay, here's the thing. Open the commode. Bottle of Maker's Mark. Bottle of your best cab. Throw a cherry in it. Spin it
just
around.
Just like my days back in prison.
There are those cocktails, those whiskey cocktails that do a red wine floater on top.
Oh,
but
my
that's,
God.
It's a weird thing to me.
Yeah.
You're just saying you have whiskey and then you'll have a glass of wine.
And or, you know, or
gotcha, gotcha,
or
gotcha,
it's
gotcha.
Like I'll usually have like a cocktail and then I'll have a glass of wine with dinner. And then maybe later in the night have another one.
I'm with you, sister.
That's, you know, yeah, we dine often and we kinda know the
right. But dry. I'm a husk of a woman. I just realized like literally yesterday I was having some water, I was like, the water tastes good today. And Andy just laughed at me. But it was like I do feel like...
Just have some water right here.
I'm not... Like, it's embarrassing. Like, to not like water is like, what are you, 7? You know what I mean? Like, it does feel very childlike to not. Yeah. And it's not something I would ever, like, say out loud. It's like, because again, I will drink it if I have to. And but this is the other thing too. It's not like I want Kool-Aid. It's not that I want soda. I like a lightly right. sweetened beverage. All right. Mm. I like myself. I like really even, I don't even sweeten my iced tea. I like iced tea with lemon. I like a
iced tea is just water.
Right. Like it's bitter
but there's
water.
A bitter, I like the bitterness of
I
iced
like the
tea.
Bitter,
like unsweetened.
Cold, bitter. Mm, cold and
yeah,
bitter.
Me
that's
too.
Me. And I just take that
yes.
in. But it's like, I will, or if I, or let's say if I had some like a, I like a cranberry juice, but I will mm-hmm. dilute it. It'll almost be 50-50 cran and water. Just plain water is just nasty, but also we do need it to live, and like it's contaminated everywhere, so I feel kind of bad not enjoying it while we have it because we don't have much.
Right.
We don't have a lot of years left of clean water, but I don't like it. It's not good. Can we
I
not
agree.
Sorry,
I support you. I support you in that. I think it's great. I had to learn to get off of soda, so that's when I really got into water. That I was like, I would drink so much Diet Coke that I years ago that I was like, you're not doing that anymore. That's one thing you can
okay.
like go of. And now when I have a Diet Coke, I have one every now and then, and it's so much.
Same.
Like I don't remember, right? And I just yeah. drink it all the time. And now I'm like, this is very chemically, and every now and then it's exactly what I want.
But did you, either of you, because I never liked diet, did you like aspartame taste, or was it more like, okay, I'm doing this because I know it's slightly
I
better
did.
Than sugar.
I got into really it. Liking it. I think yeah. it's also maybe like some sort of eating disorder thing, but I got to where I was like, right. I really enjoyed that it hurt.
It might
there
have been
was
a learned
bitterness
taste.
I learned to, I think it was. I think I learned to like enjoy that, like, this is going to be good for me.
Yeah.
And it's before we knew it was like way worse than right. sugar, you know? But in my head, it was like, I learned to. But I also grew up drinking sweet tea that the spoon would stand up. There's so much sugar in it. And it was just so, yeah. it was honey. It was basically mm-hmm. just like
thick.
Cold honey.
Viscous.
And now I can't have that anymore. And I mean, I love a sweet tea moment every now and then, but I like bitter mm-hmm. Iced tea. I don't like lemon in my iced tea, and I don't like lemon in my whiskey.
Okay.
I like orange and cherry in my whiskey.
A little sweet
But
treat.
Lemon,
a little sweet.
Lemon counteracts the bite of iced tea and whiskey to me. And mm. it, when I see a drink that has too much lemon and whiskey in it, I'm just like, well, that's pond water to me. Not
but
a fan.
I enjoy like a squeeze of lemon in a fountain Diet Coke over ice.
Wow. Mm. No, lemon and Diet Coke I can pair together.
Yeah.
It helps cover the aspartame.
I remember one time we went out and had a drink and you were like, oh, I like this scotch. Get this scotch. You're going to love this scotch. And you were like, it's smoky. And when I drank it, it was like I had yeah. licked a campfire.
Yes. It's that. I guarantee you. You know whose fault that is? That's Michael Urie's fault, because Michael Urie got me into Lafroy Scotch, which is the peatiest. It's a most delicious flavor ever, but it is such a, because I don't like very bready, malty scotches that kind of have like a.
Oh, you're a connoisseur. You're using like the description.
Seriously.
You say bready,
oh, yeah.
malty.
I like
I'm like,
a smoke.
Okay.
I like my drinks to hurt. I like them to be a little bit like cough syrupy, bitter old man at the end, like sailor drinks. I want it to be like, oh, you survived on just this and you know, rats. Like, it's just, that's out. That's all.
I recently did a scotch tasting, and
ooh.
It was just four scotches. And like the one I was like, this is the one I like. And I could tell the bartender was like, okay.
It's so funny.
You're trash.
One of the things at the wedding, because basically we had all these people. We had invited a bunch of like Andy's parents' friends who ultimately didn't come, but we had to like pay for a minimum number of bodies. Like, based on when people weren't coming, it wasn't like, okay, well, we're going to credit that money back. It was like, no, you got to meet this minimum. So one of the things we could have done was a whiskey tasting, like just to add to the thing. And I said, the only person who's going to like that is Drew. I was like, do I do it for Drew Drogi and two other people? Like, what I
oh my God,
I was like,
that's just what you thought of me.
I was like, oh, that could be fun. Like, you kind of go in a room and have a little moment. And
right.
I was like, I don't think enough people will do it.
Right. And also, that's a great idea. Of course, I love that. But it's also almost feels like a rehearsal dinner thing that you would do with a smaller group. Like,
yeah.
It would be like the group of, you know, not like a whole party, because it also just feels like, oh, what if people do get into that and you have like a long line? It's just a whole thing. I support you not having that.
Thank
Let me just put
you.
It that way.
But you know what I like though, and what I wanted, and what I, because the wedding had an indoor outdoor, I wanted there to be zones. And this is something that Jeff's husband, Neil
is obsessed with it. He's obsessed
what
with
is it.
That.
What is this?
Different areas where you can partake in what you want, meaning You know how sometimes, especially with a wedding, right? Where like once it becomes dancing, that's your only option. Either you are dancing or you're sitting at a table watching.
Or you're leaving.
Or you're leaving. But this feeling of like you can be sitting outside having a little chit chat. You could be dancing in here. You can be by the desserts. You can be sitting on a couch. There are different areas for you to kind of create the vibe you want after food is done.
And you did that perfectly, because the tables where you could sit and chat, there was couches where you could like lounge, there was like
dessert area,
bar tables with the desserts and the options for desserts. It wasn't just cake. Then there was dancing if you really want to get your dance on. It was perfect.
The dancing was in far enough removed from the people who were outside who wanted to talk to y'all and have conversations and connect with you. I just also love that I'm always nervous that people like, and I need to apologize to Andy. I didn't get to talk to him, but I'm also like, they're getting married. They're too busy. It's almost like it's their premiere. They got too many people to talk to. They'll see. I'll talk to them later. I don't want to bother. I get very like gun shy to talk to like the stars of the party, because I'm like, it's your day. I don't know what to say to you.
I get
starstruck. The bride and the groom. And so, but you made it very. You made an effort to go up and talk. I mean, I know it's like always the bride and groom's thing to go to every table and talk to everybody, but it's also like, I never feel like that should be an obligation. You should be have your day, do whatever you want to do. But y'all did a really nice job.
This is why you keep it small and only invite people you like. That's the thing. True. My dream party is a party where I know everybody and don't have to, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh my God.
Yes.
And also, here's my thing of the wedding, right? That was in March. Well, I've done my socializing until September. I mean.
Ding, ding.
That's
absolutely
the way you do it. One big one. See everybody.
Also, like, you're not going to top this year. You know, otherwise, like, work-wise, great, whatever. But you're like, yeah, but I got married after 13, March 11th.
And
we finally got married.
The most gorgeous dress and ate delicious black and white cookies and had
Now, the black and white cookies were from somewhere. They were from
New York. William and Greenberg in New York. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You can't get a good black and white in L.A. That's what we discovered. But I'll just,
I didn't know what they were. I mean, I saw them at Cantor's and stuff in L.A., but I did not know, because growing up in North Carolina, we never really had black and white cookie. That was never a thing.
Yeah. And then I remember when I came to New York. Yeah.
Then when I visited your fair city, I was handed one, and you know.
I'll tell you, it's not my preferred cookie. It's Andy is a black and white, and I was also like, are we giving an interracial nod? You know, I said black and white cookie. It could be too heavy handed. But he loves a black and white.
I took one look at it and I said, I get it. Threw it. Threw it into the crowd.
I did not even consider that.
Me either, but that's hilarious.
Oh, good, good, good. Good, good, good. Just me.
Oh, God, no, no. Yeah. Now, Jeff, you have, do you have a revelation for us?
Okay. Well, yeah, I do. I have some things coming up that I have to, like, dress up for, but, like, I'm not famous enough to get free clothes, so I have to go shopping for the clothes. And I'm, like, trying to buy, you know,
yes.
Not rich either, so I'm like, yeah. I can't.
What is that like? What is that like? I don't understand this, any of this perspective.
Oh,
I understand
when you
that
look at the account, it's not big. It's small. Anyway, my stylist, who's my friend Steven, he like boldly just went into Paul Smith and was like, look, can you get us a deal on a shirt? He's gonna wear his suit, but can you, a suit that I got for free from a commercial that I got cut out of, and it was very clear I got cut out on the day, and the director was like, just give him his suit. I got a suit.
That's better.
Yeah, I told him, I was like, I think this is how much I would have made at the commercial. A Hugo Boss suit. And anyway, he like boldly went in and like got this guy to be like, all right, I'll give it to you for 50% off. Now, it was still going to be like over $200 for this shirt. But I was like, well.
Oh my God, Paul Smith is crazy.
Wear it to a wedding. I could wear it to like future events. Like, I can only wear it once where I'm photographed, but I can wear it, you know, for future events. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll put a scarf on. It'll change it. And I'll do a Tiffany Haddish and just like call it out. Yeah, I'm wearing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I went in and he's like, we can get it for you. We can get it for you for this price. And he's like, I really want to work with you. Yeah. And so he's like, here is our largest size. And I went in. First of all, he like took me into this like dressing room that was kind of fancy. It had like two chairs and then a private dressing room beyond it. I was like, who comes in here?
Oh.
Anyway, I put on the shirt
and I couldn't fit into the largest size of shirt at Paul Smith.
What?
So even though I was willing to put down the money and really commit to this gorgeous shirt, it literally, I just have too long of arms and too fat a body.
But how outrageous.
That's
because
wild to
look
me,
at
though.
You.
Exactly.
You
like,
are...
I could see it length. I could see it being a length in the sleeve. All right. Length yeah. in the sleeve. But mm-hmm. I refuse to accept that the width was not acceptable. I refuse. That's bullshit. Ew.
So Jeff, I've been there. I've been there as well. And here's the thing. I'm wonderful. I love to piggyback on everyone's stories. I'm like, I've been there. No, but I've exactly there when I've had a little money and I'm like, I'm going to go and money's no object. I'm going to go to one of these high-end ateliers and right. they're going to, you know, suit me. And you go in there and I can't fit into the thing. And it's
well,
sort of like.
Well, because you're tall too.
I'm tall yeah. and, you know, and I'm always teetering around 200 pounds, but it's like, but I, being 6'3 and whatever, but you're like, it brings up so much of our stuff. And then we feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to put this on you because I don't know how you feel about this, but then I go through all my own body shame and go, oh God, lose weight. And how are you, you know? But then you're like, I know I'm not obese and I feel like that's like to take up that space
right.
for people who walk the world, who are proudly fat and say, you know,
right.
And I love that. And I think they're attractive. They're great, but they are owning that word. I'm like, I don't feel comfortable living in that
yeah.
space.
I know.
Well, no, I feel that same way about, especially with clothes, something I've been dealing with too, where it's like, I'm basically like on the cusp of plus. Right. So it's like it depends on what brand, if they'll have something. But also sometimes the plus sizing, I think plus size clothing for women has gotten a whole lot better because they used to just right. put you yes. in a muumuu and say work. Yeah. And now right. at least they will tailor pieces and give you options and realize that you are allowed to wear colors and patterns, too. But
right.
there were many years that was not the case. Right. But at the totally. Same time, so I'm in the, but it's like I don't necessarily move through the world receiving discrimination as a result of my size.
Thank
that's
you. That's
what
a, that's
mean
a great
too, right?
Like,
it's like, where it's like, yes. I get discriminated for other stuff, but I don't think it's size necessarily. So can I say that? But at the same time, you walk into a store where you go, I've got the money. I've got the, you know, the credits to even, you know, negotiate, hook me up.
Right.
And you telling me I can't fit this damn thing when I'm out here weight watching back in 2009?
Right.
Like Jeff's situation where it's like, I think that's that feeling. And like, I know, like, yeah. we're talking about all the stuff you go through in your head, because I'll be like, well, this is why you can't have nice things. Maybe you should drink some water. You know, like I don't. It does make you question that stuff. But then at the same time, you're like, well, it's only when I'm in this place, right, that I feel, or meaning like this actual store maybe, or, you know, certain brands or certain things that kind of do that. But then other times you're like, well, but is it so bad every other place? But then that's also like,
well,
that's
I'm so twisted. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I don't fit in it after you were going to give me that
oh,
discount.
I get it. I totally get it. I get that. And I also, it brings up for me like imposter syndrome about the whole thing. Like maybe I shouldn't be at this party. Maybe I shouldn't be, you know, all that stuff for me that I'm like, well, and it's not even conscious. Like if it was conscious, I could say, shut up. That's ridiculous. What do you mean? But I think, you know, for those of us journeymen that have been working at this for a long time and you finally get to the invited into those, you know, oh, excuse me as I bang the mic because I get nervous talking about this, but you get invited to those parties, you get invited to those situations and you're like, and I don't fit. Like I literally don't fit yeah. this one playing
yeah.
and I maybe don't, I'm not going to be what the room is, everybody else is doing. I look different from the rest of the room. I don't know. And
I'm ugh. Surprised by that you saying this, Drew, because something I noticed about you, like, first of all, I know
same.
You've watched every movie ever made.
So
I was
true.
Like, Drew has
so
seen
true.
It. He has seen it. But also I noticed too, like, you know, you will post a step and repeat moment in a, and you always look, you always look good, but that feeling
thank
of
you.
Surprise, given that you will do that. Cause I know, cause for instance, last week there was a premiere. I was invited. I never get invited to stuff. And I was like, oh, I should go. But immediately, you know, I didn't go. Cause I was like, I don't have anything to wear and I don't want to have to, like go on the step and repeat in an outfit, because it's not just, it's like also the hair, the clothes, the whole thing, where I was like, do I right. want to spend all this money to go to an event just to maybe get a picture taken not that I'm there for the picture, but knowing that that picture and that process is part of it, right? Like, that's almost the price of admission. It's like, if we let you in for free, you have to show that you were here and you have to be proud of it. And I can't promise that.
No, and there are times that I will not go. I will say this to what Jeff was saying earlier. You can wear the same outfit again. You can, especially a shirt underneath. Like, you can wear that and mix and match. And, you know, until we are Tom Cruise, I don't, like, people aren't really interested in me. Like, they wore this at another thing, and they wore this at another thing. And I'm also, like, be Tiffany Haddish should be like, I wore this before, because there are times you're like, last minute or something, and no one's really paying it. I'm like, I have to tell myself, no one's really paying attention to you, Drew. No one's really, like, and embrace that, as opposed to, nobody cares about you. It's just like, have fun. The red carpet stuff, when I get asked to, I only do it when they grab me and go, do you want to come do the red carpet? And then I'll, great. And then they have great photographers, and I have a choice of things to pick. And I go, okay, that's the thing. But, even then I will pick a part of picture of myself. And I've kind of got to a point now that I'm like, I don't take pictures of myself a lot. And so when someone else does it, I'm like, show proof of the thing. Yeah, give them the hashtag, give them the social media post that they want, that thank you for being there, you know, and be part of the night and the event. And it kind of goes in and around. But, you know, I think a lot of it is like, in what we do, you fake it till you make it. It's like going into a party and going, I'm confident, I'm going to have fun, I'm going to talk to whoever I talk to. And inside you're going, what am I saying? I'm an idiot. And I feel like I'm so boring. I'm trying now to just acknowledge like where I'm at, which is very hard. But I just kind of sometimes be like, I'm sorry, I'm getting weird, I got to go home. Like last night I was at a thing and I'm like, I have a full day. I have a big Monday morning podcast with Naomi and Jeff. I've got to do it. But I'm trying really hard to be like, I'm not helping the situation socially by being here anymore. I'm not helping myself. Yeah. So I'm going to get out of here, where I used to feel like I had to please everybody. And now it's sort of like, no, I don't have to do that anymore. I'm only going to be unpleasant. When I get tired, I get really mouthy. Y'all know, I get really like, whatever. And I'm like, oh, I'm really not helping the vibe right now. I'm just complaining about anything. My back hurts. I don't like that person that just walked away.
It is so weird to be going back to them now, though. Like, I'm going to these things now. Like, not just like red carpety things, but like just like
parties,
a dinner party. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And you're like, I don't know. What else should I talk about?
I will babble about the things that I used to talk to myself about, the most mundane, minor revelations. It's back, because it's like, what does the weird, you know? But I did go through a period where, you know, it was so boring to go out for a while, because everyone's like, how was your pandemic? And have you had it yet? And how many times? And what vaccine are you on? And good night. Nice to meet you.
True.
Please, we can get it.
Exactly the conversation every single time.
It was all we all talked about. And it was just sort of that thing where you're kind of like, well, at least we're not talking about what projects are you working on, and like what shows are you on, or what did you go on, you know, but still, you know, you kind of get, you know, but I think now I'm trying to go, hey, I'm sorry, I'm being really weird right now. I don't know what to talk about. I feel like it's COVID brain, and everyone without fail goes, oh my God, I'm so glad you said that, because I'm feeling it too.
Yes.
Totally.
So I think that's a good thing, is like collectively we have an out that like, oh, we all suffered PTSD.
Right. We all have a collective trauma.
And
yes.
We have different understandings of that and different, you know, ways of handling and processing that. But that's okay. Mm-hmm. It has to be okay to be a little boring or a little weird or a little.
Yeah.
They're in their own thing. They're not thinking about you, which I think is another.
That's true.
Thing that I have to tell myself. It's like they're not judging you and thinking about you constantly, because I think we do just think.
Yeah.
Especially in what we do. We're constantly worried about our image and like, did I say too much? Did I not say enough? Was I not polite enough? Was I not supportive enough?
We're judging ourselves all the time, and we assume everyone else is too.
Completely.
But
completely.
Inside their head, they're judging themselves.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
How about that?
Except for that one guy, but we all hate him, right?
We hate him. He just walked away. Oh, Ralph. Get out of here, Ralph.
That's a perfect name. That's a perfect specific. I know. I was just saying, like, lately I feel like you ask me how I am, and I'm giving you more backstory than a food blogger. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's just like a whole
yes.
long treatise on life before you get to the damn recipe. I don't know how to be succinct anymore.
Absolutely. Or you're too succinct, and you're like, nothing's happening.
Great. I kind of, I find myself going, great. And my, I hear my voice crack when I say it. I'm like, really? Are you? What's going on? I know. It's, but it's just a constant process. I think it's just the more we, I've just found this, just to say, like, I don't know, is better. It's okay.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, thank you. I'm grateful for that. And I don't know. And then I, it's also just good to remember, like we were saying, people aren't, and what if they were? How awful. Like, you know, you leave and they're like, Drew Jogi said this. He walked in, he was wearing the same outfit that he wore, at, you know, 3 months ago. Then he proceeded to tell me about his laundry snore. Then he walked over and, you know, you're like, oh, you're really obsessed with Drew Jogi, where you don't have, I doubt that anyone is like that, except for Ralph. And he has his own problems.
Yeah. I think it's also when you're around people that you kind of know, but aren't like friends with, that's when it's really like.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
How's your husband? How's your dog?
I know. I know.
Do you have parents?
It was like. Have you had any flavors in your mouth at meal times that you enjoy talking about or sharing or not talking about? Maybe, yeah, I know. I realized it was somewhere. It was deep February, and I just, we had that lull in conversation, and I literally said, "So how were your holidays?" They're like, and we did laugh in the moment afterwards. I mean, I do love this person that I was able to kind of laugh and go, "I'm so sorry, I don't know why I asked you that, but how were they 2 months ago?" Well, y'all, we're about out of time. I just want to thank you so much for doing this. What a delight.
This was so fun. Thank
you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
I feel
having me.
Revealed.
I'm glad you feel revealed. Exposed. And you know what? To quote Edith Massey in Polyester, God damn these designers. How dare they not make sizes for normal sized people? Because if anything, I will say, I will never say either one of you are normal in any way. But body sizes, we're normal sized people. Hello.
We're on
I'm
the
sorry.
Spectrum of human bodies. And can we please make
Thank
clothes
you.
For the spectrum of
can
human bodies?
Can we find a designer that will do that?
And to quote Edith Massey in Pink Flamingos, eggs.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And if you don't get that, this is the wrong podcast for you. All right. I want to thank my guests, Jeff Hiller and Naomi Akpare again. Oh, where can we find you on the socials?
Well, visit me on Instagram at Blacktress Comedy. Yes, that's my handle still after all these years.
I love it. Absolutely.
And I'm Boom Boom Hiller.
I love it.
It's like... It's like boom, boom. It's not like, oh, you made a boom, boom in your pants. It's like,
oh,
I think I didn't of it. Even, no,
isn't there? Wasn't there a 70s play called In the Boom Boom Room?
Yes, that's what it's from. Thank
okay,
you.
There you go. It's a reference, and I want to say, Swoozy Kurtz was in it originally. I don't know why my
I'm
brain.
Sure, she was.
I don't know why my brain went to that.
Herb Baranski, one of the two.
One of the two. They did In the Boom Boom Room. Oh, Manhattan Theater Club. They made choices. They had rich meals every night after the show, and they lived.
They didn't wear wigs because they didn't need them.
They grew their own. All right. Thanks, y'all. Have a great day. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening. Have a week.
Friend of the Pod Productions.